Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, my name's Stuart Miles and welcome to the Apocalypse Podcast. Dyson, famous for its vacuum cleaners, has launched a new product this week, the Dyson Zone. But rather than something that cleans, it's an over-the-ear headphones and air purifier in one, as the company enters the wearable technology space for the first time. Apocalypse Deputy Editor Britta O'Boyle joins us to tell us more about the intriguing announcement. Meanwhile, with the price of home electricity costs continuing to rise, is it time to go solar? I recently caught up with Decibel, a US company heading to Europe that's bringing its latest energy station with it. Is it time to make the switch? And keeping with the home technology side of things, Apocalypse Adrian Willings joins us to tell us more about how he's been getting on with the new Roborock S7 Max V Ultra Robotic Vacuum Cleaner. It's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? That not only cleans, but it vacuums and it mops and then it empties itself afterwards. Sounds amazing, but is it? Stay tuned to find out whether it's really time to put your feet up. But first, back to you, Britt. Let's start, because this is quite an interesting product. Let's start by describing what the Dyson Zone actually is.
Okay, so yes, it's a very interesting product. It is over-ear headphones, but it's got a magnetically attachable visor that goes in front of your mouth. That's the best way to describe it.
Right. So we're kind of talking a pair of over-ear headphones,
yeah,
with a face mask built in.
Sort of, yes, but it doesn't.
But the face mask is actually an air purifier.
Yes. So the
is this like something from Borg or Battlestar Galactica or something? Like, I mean,
it does look very sci-fi. I'm not going to lie. How silly you'll feel walking down the street, I'm not entirely sure, because I know we've got used to face masks and everything these days, but it certainly is different and it looks very different and you will get noticed in it.
Right.
The over-ear cups on each side of your head, they pull in the air from the outside. So the idea is to purify sort of air around you, so polluted air, I suppose. And it sucks in the air through the ear cup, and then through the carbon filter that's got potassium in it to clean the air. And then it shoots it back out through the visor and the mesh. There's two channels that shoot it back out to your nose and your mouth.
Now, before you start to think that this is absolutely bonkers and they've gone down some crazy route, the way you were describing it, that sounds, having covered Dyson for a number of years, that sounds pretty much identical to how their filtration system works for their vacuum cleaners.
Yes, I believe there is some, well, they've obviously taken what they know about
kind of taken it in through the filter and then spits it out the other end.
Yeah, so the Dyson Zone has two motors in it, and they're the smallest motors Dyson has done so far. But this took like 6 years to make, and there's been over 500 prototypes for it. So it's definitely something that's been in their plans for a long time, but it's taken a very long time in order to get it into something that is wearable, I suppose.
Right. Now, you've been in a very special situation where you've actually tried one of these, is that right?
Yes, yeah, I did get it.
Right. And did you feel like Darth Vader?
Yes.
I am your father.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, I felt ridiculous wearing it, but the audio quality, from my experience, was very, very good, exceptional. And the air purifying element of it was actually very refreshing, if I'm honest. Naturally, this was inside. So how it would work outside when you're actually in air that is perhaps slightly more polluted remains to be seen. But certainly inside, it was very interesting and works, presumably.
Now, okay, so let's get aside from the fact that you might look like Darth Vader or something random, and I've got to have what seems to be insurmountable courage to wear one of these in the street, on the tube, on the train, or whatever. Who is this for? Who's going to be wearing this?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Because in London and the UK and perhaps even parts of Europe, it may not be quite so prevalent to wear one of these things. But in other areas of the world where the air pollution is slightly more
bad
yes, serious, then I suspect that it may be something that people will consider as a sort of solution.
Right. And I suppose, I mean, ultimately, we have got used to wearing masks. Yeah. And although we're now coming into a society that's not wearing masks, if we don't want to, there's still probably a lot of, the UK is very, it's very fortunate that they kind of slightly ahead of the curve, perhaps, or just maybe head in the sand of understanding where the sort of COVID is. So, okay. So when is this coming out?
So it's coming out in August in some areas of the world, but they have said that geographically the availability will change, so they've not said exactly when it will launch in various countries. They also haven't told us the price yet.
Right, and knowing Dyson, that means it'll probably be punchy.
Yes. I mean, the headphone side of it, it's got like active noise cancellation, and they're really cool. They're very premium looking, as you'd expect from their products. The controls are quite cool. They've got is a joystick control, which is handy. So there are, and the visor, you can dip down and then it automatically puts the headphones into conversation mode and pauses the audio and stuff. So there's some really cool features on it. I think it's more just a case of who is going to be brave enough to wear these. And it's certainly going to be early adopters to begin with, I think.
Still to come, Adrian gives us his verdict on the Roborock S7 Max V Ultra Robotic Vacuum Cleaner.
But it'll also go back there and wash its own mop and empty the water system that's inside it and put fresh water in there and clean out the mop and make sure it's ready for the next pass. And it'll sometimes go back to the dock to clean that mid-clean. So it'll go out and it'll make sure it's got a clean mop. So it reduces a lot of the sort of hands-on work that you have to do.
Have you seen your latest electricity bill yet? If not, I suspect it might give you a bit of a shock as prices continue to rise around the world without the promise of a respite anytime soon. Decibel makes an all-in-one home energy station for consumers that look to capture the energy from connected solar panels before monitoring whether they should use, store, or sell the power they produce. Interesting to find out more, I recently caught up with the company's European CEO, Laurent Schmidt, to find out more and just how easy the system is to get up and running, and whether it generally is the future for all of us. I started by asking him to explain what the system actually does.
So it's actually a piece of kit which we install in a home and which is able to integrate together all the electrical vehicle charging, the photovoltaics, as well as potentially standalone battery in order to be able to better control one's energy into the home and interact with the energy system, being able to supply, I would say, balance of energy back to the system, to the grid when we are when the grid is in peak condition. So basically a tool to be able to energy manage in the home and environment.
So at the point that you get involved, someone has already gone off and got solar panels on their roof, and you're kind of the conduit between capturing that energy and then delivering it to the home, or just to EV vehicles in particular?
So it's actually integrating all EV, PV, and the grid together. And the purpose is not to have the home being on an islanded situation. It can, if there is an outage, but the objective of the home energy station is more to optimize the home energy to make sure it maximizes the usage of photovoltaics to charge the car, and it minimizes the cost of the electricity which is consumed by the home.
Now, there's a lot of talk in the industry about the kind of the future is sort of home batteries, in your garage or whatever, storing energy from a number of places. How far down the journey do you think we are in that process?
I think it's the beginning of a new journey. And basically, the more we are exposed to high prices because of the energy crisis, and the most economical it is to self-consume one's own sort of PV. And so very naturally, the idea comes to add a storage unit. So as far as we see, now 80% of the PV photovoltaics in the home are equipped with storage. So what is new with our kit is that you can have a dedicated storage battery, but if you have an electrical vehicle which is capable of exchanging energy bidirectionally between the home and the car, you can actually use your car to store and unstore the energy which you self-produce. So basically, you don't necessarily need to add a storage standalone battery, and you can use your car if it is enabled with vehicle to home or vehicle to grid.
And how do you, I mean, obviously, I know that your answer would be you want it in every home possible, because, you know, you're in business to do that. But how possible is that? What where do you see this sitting in the marketplace?
So we see, I would say, a collective initiatives and more awareness of consumers and citizens to try to play a role in decarbonizing our energy system. And so the natural first step is to actually buy an electrical vehicle, because it's a significant impact on the transportation carbon footprint which each of us have. And very naturally then comes the question on how do I best charge my electrical vehicle, both from an economical point of view, but as well as trying to absorb as much renewable which I can produce in my home. And so what we see is basically the electrical vehicle integration into the system is an accelerator to the installation of solar photovoltaics into home. And the crisis in the current energy space is another, I would say, new driver for accelerating these installations. So we basically come into play when a consumer buys a new car and wants to integrate this together with local photovoltaics.
And is this something that's fairly easy for a homeowner to think about installing? I mean, not talking about them doing it themselves, but just in a sense of, you know, there seems to be a lot of steps. You need the solar and things like that. Do you see this is getting easier to install?
So it's the we see basically, generally speaking, that solar PV is basically getting more and more easy to install. Having said that, people have to climb on their roof or installing onto their wall and so on. So generally, they ask a specialist, and we have developed partnerships with smart home installers to be able to deliver our equipment. And having said that, we can also use our equipment solely as a bidirectional charging for your car, in which case it's much more easy to install, and a simple electrician is able to do that that kind of installation. So it really depends on what type of functionality you enable with the device.
And so let's talk about that bi-directional thing, because that's quite an interesting point, isn't it? So not only can you capture energy, but you can deliver energy to it from your car if you need that to run your house. Is that correct?
That's exactly true. So basically, what the normal way of using your car battery is, of course, to charge it from a charging point. So very often from your home, because this is the place where it's the cheapest to charge. And while you drive, you uncharge through the mileage which you do. And here what we are doing is, because the size of this battery is getting larger and larger, we actually are using the same battery to uncharge during, for instance, peak periods when electricity costs are high, or basically if you have too much of your solar PV, to be able to reuse the solar PV into the evening when you are consuming more into your home. So it is really using the battery in a bidirectional way, exactly the same way as a standalone battery would be used, and so potentially you save the cost of the standalone battery.
So in theory, you'd use the energy to charge your car when it's cheap, and then you'd use that energy that you stored in your car to then push back into the system when it's more expensive.
That's absolutely true. So the typical use case is you arrive at home, let's say in the evening when the electricity is high, you plug, you immediately uncharge during the during this period. Then you you recharge during the night when the electricity price is low, or during the solar peak during the lunchtime if your car is parked at this time, because of course the solar PV which you get in your home is virtually free as soon as you have a solar PV onto your roof.
And what do you see the biggest challenges that you face as a business going forward?
So the I think the challenge which we see is to progressively get the consumers used to this kind of new way of interacting with the electricity. And historically, we've been used to the fact that we can consume whatever electricity we want, and whatever this consumption we need, the price is fixed. And I think what's happening now, and we see it in the crisis, is we see more and more volatility into these electricity prices, depending on periods when you are wind, no wind, and so on. And so the complexity is to get consumers used to the fact that they have interest actually to play with this volatility in a way, and be smart in the way to charge and charge. So it's about changing consumers' habits. So here, because we use a battery, of course, it's rather transparent to the user, but still there are new approach which are to be taken, such as accepting to have more dynamic tariff on your electricity, which can be seen on one side as a risk, but also as an opportunity if you have a storage unit, because then you can, of course, overconsume during these periods where the price is particularly low.
And where do you see this technology going in the future?
So we currently, the amount of electrical vehicle who can afford this kind of bidirectional functionality is still limited. Is mostly the Japanese vehicle. But what we see is the majority of EV manufacturers have now committed to build it as the, I would say, a mainstream option into every new EV electrical vehicle being delivered in the next 2-3 years. So what we see is that there will be an acceleration simply because it will come built in into the car. And so it's going to accelerate these movements, which are for the moment pretty much limited to Nissan brands. So we see and we expect an acceleration of this technology adoption with new EV coming onto the market.
And so does it take into account other forms of renewable energy, or is it just solar?
So it's basically integrating the solar PV which you have into your home environment together with your electrical vehicle charging. So this is the starting point. And then through the optimization which is running, it's also trying to capture the electricity from the grid when the price is the lowest. And so these periods are typically periods when you also have higher wind condition into the grid. So I would say indirectly you capture the electricity when you have higher wind conditions, so better renewable content as well. So effectively, it captures renewable both from your local PV, but also from the grid, and so wind indirectly.
Roborock's robot vacuum cleaner seemed to get smarter and more convenient with each iteration. In the S7 Max V Ultra, which can both mop and vacuum without you needing to lift a finger, the company has made its most advanced and intelligent robot vacuum cleaner to date. But does it deliver on that promise? And are the days of never having to do any of the housework ever again finally here? Well, the good news is Apocalypse Adrian Willings has been sitting back and watching the robots clean his house and is here to tell us more. So, Adrian, do they work?
Well, sadly, it doesn't go up the stairs just yet, but otherwise it does do some very good cleaning of the home. And it's got I've watched the Roborocks get better with each iteration, and this one's particularly impressive, and they're packing a number of different cameras and sensors into it, so it's really good at making its way around your home. And there's a lot of hidden depth to it, and one of the most interesting things about it I found was there's now a live view camera built into it, which helps the robot work out where it's going and map out the home, including a 3D map of your home within the app. But it also means that you can remotely use your robot vacuum cleaner as like a live camera to move around the house, so you can actually use it sort of move around and move.
See what's happening. See where the kids are and all the other stuff.
Yeah, and it has a live call functionality, so you can also talk to people on the other end and have a video call, basically, as long as you don't mind looking at their feet. But that isn't the best bit about it. The best bit is quite possibly the dock system, because a number of the premium robot vacuum cleaners out there have this self-emptying logic. But this one goes a bit further, because not only does it have a dock with a bin on it, which automatically empties the smaller bin inside the robot every time it cleans, but it'll also go back there and wash its own mop and empty the water system that's inside it and put fresh water in there and clean out the mop and make sure it's ready for the next pass. And it'll sometimes go back to the dock to clean that mid-clean, so it'll go out and it'll make sure it's got a clean mop. So it reduces a lot of the sort of hands-on work that you have to do as a robot vacuum cleaner owner anyway. Usually previously you'd have to empty a robot vacuum. I tend to schedule them to go out every day, so I'd usually find I had to empty it every 2 days.
I have that with mine. It kind of says, I need emptying, come and get me.
Yeah, and help. Now this one basically only needs emptying every few months because it has a much bigger bin. And so even when it's going out once a day, 5 days a week, then it still doesn't need emptying that often, which makes it a lot easier.
So let's back up just ever so slightly. So this is Roborock's top-of-the-range robot vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
It vacuums. It mops. Does it know to mop your carpet and vacuum your hard floors? Or can it get confused?
It has a special sensing system called Vibrorize, which has two parts to it, essentially. The mop system not only vibrates on hard floors, but also is able to detect when it's going to carpet and automatically lift the mop up out of the way so your carpets don't get wet. And does a really good job there as well. I haven't had any problems with the carpets being moist.
So it gets the right, it doesn't do one and the other and gets it around the wrong way. On the mopping, let's talk about the mopping quickly. Does it actually mop, or does it just leave a smeary mess across your floor?
It's actually one of the better systems I've seen. So, you know, traditionally it's just rubbing a wet microfiber cloth across the floor. And, you know, it's still not as, neither the vacuum cleaning or the mopping is as good as a proper full system doing it yourself. But if you're sending it out daily, it certainly does a good enough job that it keeps the floor clean and free of dust and mops well.
So it's a good
experience, yes.
So it's a good mopper. And the vacuum, it's a good vacuumer.
Yes, absolutely.
Is that even a word, vacuumer? I presume it would be. It is now, so let's carry on with that. Okay, so it does a mop, it does the vacuum, it does the emptying. So far, the only thing I can gather from that you don't like is it doesn't go upstairs.
Yeah.
It
doesn't tidy up after my kids. Doesn't stop the kids from leaving their stuff all over the house.
Has that improved? Because that's been one of the things with robot vacuum cleaners for a long time, is that, and they're getting better and better each iteration, aren't they? But how, if you've got messy kids and you've got, like, you know, a number of times, certainly in the early days of robot vacuum cleaners, you come down and try to eat a sock, or it got stuck in a rug, or it's just managed to pin itself into a corner around a chair and it can't get out. How is all that edge detection and object detection?
Obstacle detection actually seems to have been improved quite a lot, and just that's part of the intelligence of all the different sensors and the cameras, in that it'll work out where the problems are and it will even put them on the map, so you can go into the software, into the app, and look and see what sort of obstacles it's picked up, and it'll let you know if it sees cables or if there's shoes, and it'll mark them on the map and avoid them. And it's actually done a much better job than historically avoiding those things, and certainly doesn't seem to get stuck as often. I do find, however, if there's, for example, a little bit of Lego on the floor, then that still presents a problem, because that will get stuck in the brush, and that can be an issue. But certainly haven't seen any problems with socks getting stuck in there, so it is better at picking things up. But there is a certain level of how big the object needs to be for the robot to detect it. I can't remember the exact stats, but they're in the full review, and it is much better at avoiding those things. And I haven't seen any issues where it gets stuck because it doesn't know where it is, so it certainly knows how to get around, and it does clean right up to the edges, so it does a really good job there. So.
And finally, I suppose, in terms of maintenance, the idea of docking and this docking, you know, these buckets with dirt and water and all the other stuff, how easy is it to maintain or you know, the maintenance of it if you do get something stuck?
It's much more hands off now than it ever has been with other robot vacuum cleaners in the past, from what I've seen. The you now have a dust bag which needs to be replaced every few months, but obviously, you know, cleaning out the robot vacuum itself is a lot easier because it's done automatically, and the maintenance overall is generally a lot lower. And as for emptying the water and freshening it up, that only seems to be once a week or so anyway. Obviously, that's going to vary depending on how much you're using it, but it's really, really so much easier, so much less hassle than it was previously, which is obviously wonderful. And a brilliant part of having a robot vacuum cleaner is not having to do any of the cleaning anyway. So
now, you've tested quite a few of these over the years. You've kind of just fallen into becoming almost the de facto robot vacuum cleaner tester on Pocket Lint. If and when this gets asked to go back, are you going to be sad?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's it for this week's show. Until next time, thanks for listening. Pip, pip.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.